Reinvent Ideal is on. Today, is there possibly just one thing that, if focused on, can increase to more sexual satisfaction in your life? If you just adopt this one thing, if you have this, then you'll be getting laid a lot more often than you are right now. And believe it or not, this one thing is not looks, money, nor status. What is it? Find out today. Warning, you are about to cross a no-bull barrier. Reinvent Ideal starts now.
You're listening to Reinvent Ideal, dating and life advice for men.
See, you're struggling though. You need some help?
The wisdom you need when you're depressed and no one cares because you're not a chick.
Well, we're all enjoying our day. We're going to lose 12 men to suicide today.
Your weekly red pill prescription.
It's a place for unguarded conversations to investigate with a council of men the riddles of life.
With Cairo Copeland.
The number one thing that gets you laid is not your looks. A lot of people think that, like, oh, if I just had bigger muscles, if I just had six-pack abs, if I just had a prettier face or nicer hair. That's not the number one thing. Plenty of pretty people that are not getting it. Plenty of good-looking guys that still are not getting it. I mean, a lot of the black pill incels that I've worked with, they weren't bad-looking guys, but they just weren't getting it. Elliot Rodger, even. He wasn't a hideous-looking guy. He was an all-right-looking guy, probably even good-looking by some standards. It's not money either, because I'll tell you what, even if you got guys with money and everything, they are the ones that are going to see the prostitutes, because, you know, those real nice prostitutes and everything are probably like $500, only they can afford to do it. And that's because either they can't get it for free on their own because they don't have the skill set, or they're just lazy and don't want to do the work. And it's not status either, although status can help. But there are a lot of guys out there with status that still struggle with women. I mean, look at Jeff Bezos. He was the richest man in the world at one point, but acted like a complete pitiful simp for gutter trash like this Sanchez character that he wound up with. So it's not a matter of status even. When you have that, you can still mess things up. And also, it's not allure. A lot of guys think, well, if I just have the craft of allure down, then I'm going to be real good. See, allure only carries you so far. It just helps you navigate the situations that you can wind up into when you're on the quest for more positive female attention. But what puts you into those situations? What gives you the chance? What increases your odds? What gives you the opportunity to exercise allure? The number one thing you need to do on your end to make the quest of getting laid successful is to work more volume. And this is something every guy can do. It's the most important element of your system to try to close with as many women as possible. There's far too many mitigating factors and contextual variables in a woman's life that get in the way of your pursuit of sex with them. And these things make it impossible to succeed while focusing on just one or even a few women. The average guy is a complete simp that relies solely on one woman to be his sole source of female intimacy. And this is a huge mistake, because what typically happens is he gets a date with her, spends a ton of money trying to impress her, which is then followed by more dates and more money until he wins enough of her favor to take things to sex. And during this, she is the only one he considers. And he does this because social imperatives and his blue pill conditioning dictate to him that he must give his full attention to this woman. He'd really like to try things out with others deep down, but he doesn't act on those desires, partially because he's still afraid of being rejected by other girls, but also because there are social imperatives that shame males for wanting more sex than one woman is willing to offer. Media depictions of such a guy are often unfavorable. Just think of Glenn Quagmire from Family Guy. Yeah, they're often given the derogatory name player. The term player is a derogatory term. It's not something that's celebrated in today's world. So most often, it is the guy that initiates the exclusivity talk, and he may start out asking about it with the question, where do we stand? And this is always a mistake, because it puts you in her frame instead of her being in yours. And she'll pick up on you being in her frame and assume that you are the submissive male, that you're a simp. And this guy will get jealous easily and cause her attraction to decrease over time because his neediness and constant reliance on her for attention, approval, and bedroom satisfaction are what drive her away. And statistically speaking, women are often the ones that end relationships. And the guys are left very distraught about the relationship ending. And they try to desperately get back with her. And they may message her a million times and blow up her phone, possibly even become a stalker. But after being told to fuck off in the harshest manner possible, he moves on, but in a downward spiral to depression. It could last for a couple of weeks or even months, until he meets a new woman and starts this cycle all over again. You see, this is the dreaded disease of one-itis, and it is responsible for more male misery than anything else. When you focus solely on one woman, all your hopes and desires rest entirely on her. And if it doesn't work out, as statistics suggest, you are set up for a terrible fall. In the case of one-itis, a guy is going to put so much effort and work into attaining her, and once she's gone, he sees nothing but a lost investment from which he will recover nothing. Not just emotions that can be restored, but also time is lost, which can never be replaced. Thus, working one woman at a time is extremely inefficient and detrimental to getting to the end result that you want to get to. Further, she can sense your desperation, or at least your eagerness for her to accept you, and she's repelled by it. Adhering to blue pill conditioning, many guys continue this despite looking back at their lives only to see a long line of failed relationships that followed this cycle. And some do this even knowing that they are making themselves vulnerable to future pain. Their yearnings to attain a particular outcome is precisely what drives that outcome away. The correct course of action is to have and display outcome indifference. Now, many dating coaches and pickup artists, they prescribe outcome indifference for their frustrated male students and clients, but they never really say how to get it, and that's because the answer is socially unacceptable. The answer is date non-exclusively. Some call it building a rotation. Others call it spinning plates. And I like to call it a book of beauty, which is like a salesman's book of business. Once you have more than one net cast out to bring in a catch, you find yourself less clingy to the outcome of each cast than you would had you only sent out one. Even better, all the nervousness and jitters for the first date disappear. The natural worry that accompanies you during a promising first date is reduced when you have another one planned the next day, or even later the same day. You see, volume is what matters the most. If you set up 30 dates with 30 different women, you're going to feel invincible. That way, if some flake, so what? If some don't like you, so what? If there are some that you don't like, so what? You still likely have a few that you'll really connect with. Having options and working the volume to create those options is what's going to give you confidence to play to win instead of playing not to lose. So the purpose of this, it's not to be a player with a long list for a lay count. The reason for doing this is so you won't be distraught or deeply hurt when women pull some bullshit on you like flaking and friend-zoning and ghosting. See, that kind of shit can really kill your confidence when you care too much, and one woman being your only option will make you care too much. When there are many potential partners, one woman barely matters enough to crush your confidence. And this is also a time management matter as well. You don't have the time to spend months pursuing one woman while risking the possibility of getting nowhere with her. Because you see, women are not scarce, but your time is. So meet many women, ask for first dates right away, and have many first dates. Keep meeting and asking, even after scheduling some. Your blue pill conditioning and what you've been told is the ideal way for you to live as a man is to put all of your energy and efforts, all your eggs in one basket when it comes to a woman, and make her your sole source of female intimacy. How many times have you done that in your life, and how many times have you been burned by doing that in your life? So what Reinvent Ideal suggests is, let's turn that on its head. Let's reinvent what is the ideal way for a man to live. And what that is instead of being constantly on the search for a wife to commit to monogamously, let's constantly be that bachelor that is seeing many women at once, dating many women at once, like Hugh Hefner, like Andrew Tate, Do you see those guys unhappy? No. And honestly, the guys that are unhappy are the ones that are locked into a monogamous relationship with a woman that no longer respects them and is no longer keeping herself looking attractive for him because she knows that she's got him on a tight leash. So the reinvented way to live, the new ideal for male life, is to never commit to a woman like that, never commit to any woman in full at all, and instead make women compete for you. Don't commit to women, make women compete for you. That is what I advocate as the right way, but the only way that you can do this is by reinventing yourself into the most powerful, high-value version of yourself possible. And that's what this program is all about. Because have you ever felt, despite how much you adore and do for your girl, that to her, you are just an option? Well, the sad truth is that you really are. Now, here comes something that is going to anger the most romantic-hearted. You see, in today's world, women have an overwhelming amount of choice. Prior to the 20th century, women had very little say in who would be their lover. It was often arranged by families for the benefit of those families. And that was because only the man worked, and the wife was just a functional necessity to serve a societal imperative of having children. And then along came the fempowerment mandate, which promoted women to work. See, it's not about allowing women to work, but the fempowerment mandate was all about telling women that the most important thing in their life would be work. Not taking care of a family, not keeping a household, not having an amazing relationship with your husband or with your children. No, they said the most important thing in life is work. Getting up before the crack of dawn to sit in rush hour, bumper to bumper traffic, to deal with an asshole boss and serve asshole ungrateful customers, and then sit in bumper to bumper rush hour traffic again on the way home to spend 4 hours in the home being too tired to enjoy anything other than TV. That was what the fempowerment mandate did. But now with all these women working because they were told that was the most important thing in life, they no longer need a man to support them. So they get to choose now which one they want for themselves. And you might ask then, okay, they choose, that's fine. I'm all about freedom. But how do they choose? Well, the overpowering imperative in their decision, particularly for the millennial generation and under, and what truly governs many decisions, is FOMO, the fear of missing out. The average person that was born in the late 80s to early 90s has lived through countless undeclared wars, a terrorist attack, a great recession, and massive cultural changes that scream, not only can they have it all, but they must. And quite often members of this generation have experienced the dreaded horror of having to sit by themselves at lunch or hang on the loser's wall at a school dance. If not that, then they experience it in the age of social media, seeing the best parts of their friends' lives posted for elicitation of envy, while they sit on the toilet scrolling through it, contemplating how shitty their own life is by comparison, no pun intended. Now that fear of missing out is so deeply ingrained into their decision-making, and this takes center stage for the female fraction of this generation when deciding which men they will end up with. But the good news for them is that there is a lot of choices out there for them. The bad news for the males is that the choice lies solely with the females. So should a guy break up with his girlfriend while she wishes for it to continue, he's a douchebag. It doesn't matter if he was unhappy in it or not getting his needs met. He's expected to suppress those needs for the sake of love. But the reaction when the roles are reversed is a resounding, "Oh, you go, girl," as she declares her independence again. It doesn't matter how much he adored her or how deep into his heart he kept her. All that matters is that she was not happy. And the horrific effect of this action is amplified when done in the context of a marriage. Years of that man's comfort and loyalty are flushed down the drain, not to mention the effect of this on his income and assets. But what would cause her to do such a thing? To turn her back on a man that provided for her and was going to provide for her forever and ever? The fear of missing out. See, just as the societal imperatives have force-fed you a belief in one-itis, they have also force-fed her a belief in the one. She's told by everyone and everything from her parents to pop culture that there is this one perfect man out there for her. And with him, she'll never have to change or improve a thing about herself because he will love her just as she is. She'll never have to put in the hard work to maintain a relationship like it requires because he's just so right for her. And she'll never have to worry about provision for herself again because he's got that taken care of too. And this is one of those things that girlfriends frequently share with each other in a frenemy context. You know, frenemy, that's something that only women have, all right? There's no guys that have a friend that they consider a frenemy. Now, whether explicitly in conversation or subtextually over social media, the women will point out to their peers, well, look at my perfect man who sent me flowers for no reason to my office. And when I got home, he had a warm bath drawn for me with rose petals leading to it. And then he had my favorite meal ready for a candlelight dinner. Oh, I love him so much. The translation behind that is, I bet your man doesn't do this for you, so there must be something wrong with you. That's the way that women fight, is that it's all covert and it's all subtextual. So there's an intense fear within every woman, even when she's happy in the relationship, that perhaps who she's with is not the right one. And so much pressure has been put on her through the entirety of her life to find the one, but nothing was said about how to tell if you do in fact have found them. You're supposed to just know it without any instruction given on how to know it. And this is why women will test you and push you to the limit. This is why they are often the ones that initiate breakups and divorces. And it explains how they can become so cold in relationships and withhold intimacy. This is the cause of cheating on her part and possibly a contributing factor to some cheating on the male's part too. Because you see, men often cheat when they don't feel loved, and they don't feel loved when they don't get sex. Now, what I tell guys early on when they sign up for my coaching program and they want to focus on getting better with women, what I tell them early on is, when you embark on that pursuit, you're going to be disrespected more than you've ever been disrespected before. And this is how. Because your feelings do not matter when she fears that she's missing out on the one. This is the old saying, hypergamy doesn't care. This is what creates a lot of MGTOWs and black pill guys, is hypergamy and coming to the realization of just how powerful it is. And of course, they make their YouTube channels or their little podcasts and they cry about hypergamy. But we're not about that here. What we're about here is getting answers and solutions to these challenges. You see, every person on this earth experiences envy. You know, whether your neighbor's house looks better, or when a less qualified person gets the promotion at work, when former classmates are making more money than you, or worst of all, when a less attractive guy with much less to offer has a more attractive girlfriend than you, or you're still single but he has her. You see, every guy in a relationship has experienced the feeling of missing out when he sees a woman far more attractive than his partner. This is just part of human nature. And you see hypergamy at work with women that prefer just to be with men a little bit older than them because they're more established. But it crosses over all territories. The man will often have a higher paying job, more social connections, probably even come from a family that has both. You see, like children, they want the shiniest new thing there is. It causes them to drop and lose appreciation for all the things that they already do have. What I'm going to tell you is that this cannot be held against them. You see, when boys are rowdy and misbehave, the phrase often said is, oh, boys will be boys. In the same sense, when women allow hypergamy and the fear of missing out to govern their decisions and behaviors, all that can be said is, girls will be girls. And just as you cannot resist taking a look at a beautiful woman when she walks by, even when you've been married for years and have fathered children with your wife, she just cannot resist wondering what she's missing out on. So I'm not saying this to defend women. I'm saying this to say I did not create women. I just know how to operate with them. I don't agree with their operating procedure. I just know how to adapt to it. You see, the wolf doesn't know why he's a wolf. The deer doesn't know why she's a deer. It just is as it is. Human nature cannot be changed. You can join the black pill MGTOWs and bitch about it all you want, but human nature cannot be changed. Only the individual human can change themselves. And that is it for us today. Hope this has been helpful. If there's something in particular that you want me to discuss, something that you're struggling with, something you need help with, just send me an email about it at cairo@reinventideal.com and indicate if you'd like to have me read your email on the air, and I will do that for you. That's cairo@reinventideal.com. And please remember that the bowl gets blocked right here, because I am my brother's keeper, and I got your back.
Thank you for listening to Reinvent Ideal with Cairo Copeland, your weekly red pill prescription. See more at reinventideal.com.
Never ghosted again. The art of being irresistible. Do you struggle with getting women to like you? Have you been flaked on, ghosted on, dumped after a few dates, or friend-zoned before even getting a chance? This book is written for the frustrated man that's not getting the results he wants in his dating life during this social media age. This is for the guy that has fallen hard on the floor wondering what he has to do to get a chance with women, who has done everything women have ever asked him to do, yet they've denied him the only thing he's ever wanted. For the guy who's asking himself, when in the hell did getting a date get this difficult? What you'll discover in this book is the marks of the most attractive man, with detailed descriptions and thorough instruction on how to adapt them. Specifically, understanding women easily, how to predict their behavior like a mathematical pattern, the six things that make a man irresistible, including the greatest skill every man needs to learn, and three habits that transform you into the hot dude they can't resist, the one way to make women approach you, because yes, there is a way, it can be done, a definitive guide to shattering approach anxiety. I will show you how to approach a girl you don't know and get her wanting to know you more from the cold approach, becoming bulletproof against rejection. You'll never be afraid of hearing the words, I'm not interested or I have a boyfriend, ever again. I'll show you how to talk to nines and tens with ease and confidence that makes it look and feel effortless on your part. And I'll teach you the most vital dating life hack to learn in today's world. It's something that 95% of all guys are not doing. This has step-by-step instructions on how to get past each one of these with specific actionable advice. Become the man that every guy envies at reinventideal.com/ghosted. That's reinventideal.com/ghosted. Get your copy today. Never ghosted again. The art of being irresistible.